when Jesus, our Lord, said, the Son of Man is betrayed. When he said that, things started to move. Until he said that, nothing was moving in that direction. Now he's spoken it out of his mouth, and things are happening in that wise. The Bible says, but they said, not on the feast day. Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. We're going to kill him, we're going to catch him, we're going to kill him, but we're not going to do it on the feast day. Well, Jesus, our Lord, is supposed to be the Passover lamb. And this is the feast of the Passover. And now they want to change the timing of God. God's timing is not going to be fooled around with. He knows when he's going to die. He knows when he's going to go on that cross and pay the price as a perfect Lamb of God for my salvation and your salvation. He's put it into motion, but here's the devil trying to bring his own agenda into the whole deal. Now the Bible goes on. Looks like a shift, complete shift from what we're talking about so far, but it's all in line to the same thing. Because what the Bible says here is this. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. Wow. That's strange. Because normally when he's in Bethany, he's in the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. The Bible tells us here that something different happened. He's in the house of Simon the leper. Who is this Simon the leper? Simon the leper is a wealthy man, but he's also the father of the one who's going to betray Jesus. This is a father of Judas. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Now, this name, Simon, is the flip name of the name Peter, who is the rock. It says Jesus came into the house of, came to Bethany and came to the house of Simon the leper. Simon the leper. Simon the leper. Simon the leper. Who goes and hangs around the leper? But this man is loaded. He has lots of money. And people didn't care that he was a leper. But Jesus comes there because he's about to reveal something about the hearts of men. He says here, while he was in the house of Simon the leper, there came a woman. Unto him, having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. So Jesus is in the house of Simon the leper, the father of Judas Iscariot. He's there. In essence, he is in the house of the one who is going to betray him. Are you with me? Doesn't Jesus know? I find this very interesting. Because God will many times lead you in a way that causes you to be around people that really don't really care about you, that really want to hurt you, and cause you to be friendly towards them in spite of what he knows is about to happen. But will keep you through that particular experience. In my 40-something years of ministry, I've seen that play itself out again and again and again and again. And the idea behind this is this. I don't want anybody to be able to point an accusing finger at you and say, you are this kind of a person, which you are not. I came to the house of Simon, the leper. I came to the house of Judas Iscariot, who is going to betray me. So he cannot say it's because he didn't like me. I made him my treasurer. He cannot say I did not trust him. I made myself vulnerable to him. He cannot have any reason to say, well, this is the reason why I did this. No, the last days of my life, before going to that cross, I went into the house of a person who is going to betray me. I went into the house of his father, who is a leper, who I should not be with. I went there. And here comes this woman with precious ointment. They tell us that this was an ointment that cost a whole year's wage. This possibly might be something that she was saving for her dowry. Something precious that she was going to take into her new life, a new stage. And she comes with it. And she pours the most expensive ointment on the head of Jesus as he sat at meat. In other words, sat at the dining table to eat. She just comes in, takes oil, expensive oil, and pours it on Jesus. Wow. Let's go a little bit further. He says, but when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. They were upset, saying, to what purpose is this waste? To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? Why are you disturbing the woman? For she had wrought a good work upon me. She had wrought a good work upon me. Now, the unusual thing about this particular experience here is that this woman was a woman that had issues. She had demons that had been cast out of her. Another scripture talks about her as being possibly a prostitute. And she's out of place, but she brings her very best, her precious, and pours it on the Lord. Now, the Lord is going to say this woman got her ready, got him ready for his burial. When Jesus was going to be whipped during that time of his trial, the only smells you could see and perceive from him were the smells of this ointment that now penetrated every aspect of his person. This is, I don't know if you've ever had perfumes from Israel. I've had perfumes from Israel. They're very strong and they stay. It's oil. It stays on you. It stays on you for a long time. And this man poured the most expensive of oils, perfumes, on the Lord. And the Lord says, for she hath wrought a good work upon me. She's done a good work with me. I'm pleased with this. Stop being indignant and upset about this. He says, you're thinking about giving this to the poor. He says, for ye have the poor always with you. Poor are always going to be with you. But me ye have not always. You don't have me all the time. I'm going to be leaving. And this woman here, for in that she had poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. The Lord is talking about his burial already. He knows what is going to happen. There's no surprise here. No, I'm going to lay down my life. And I'm going to take it back up. Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman had done, be told for a memorial of her. And today we're studying the word of God and we're talking about her. It's going to be done for a memorial of her. What about this was so special? She gave her very best. She gave the very best. And because she gave the very best, she's going to be remembered. That's a memorial of her. The same is said of the centurion. You see, when you bring your very best to God, it is noted. But unfortunately, we missed the opportunity, not because the opportunity wasn't there, but because we did not take it to give God the very best, something that means something to you. The very best is something that means something to you. It's not necessarily the amount. It's that your heart is in the amount. The Lord is watching as people were bringing their bags of money and bringing it to the treasury. And here comes this widow with her mite. And she throws it in. And the Lord acknowledges and says, she gave more than everybody else that came there. But what she gave was not even worth 1 cent. Why did he say that? Because she gave everything. And God says, I take note of it. Now I wonder, have I given anything that is noteworthy to the Lord? Have you? Have we? Something came from deep within. Ultimately, that's what God is looking for. Verse 14 says, then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest. This woman had poured this on him, and he says, he's anointed me for my what? My burial. True? And what's the next statement? The next act after the burial statement is this. then one, after the Lord said what he said, that this was about his burial, and that this woman's gift, this precious that she's given, has been done and will be for a memorial of her, Judas now kicks into the next level. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? What is moving him? What is moving him, interestingly enough, is that he is the one that's going to betray the Lord. What is moving him is that timing. And the timing has been orchestrated by what the Lord is saying out of his mouth. May I say this to us at this point then? That the timing of change of seasons, is orchestrated by the words that come out of your mouth. You change. It's like changing gears in your vehicle, if you have a standard or whatever, shifting gears. And with every statement the Lord made, he shifted the gear. And now he said, burial. First time he said, he's betrayed. Now he says, burial. Is betrayed to be crucified. And now he's solidified that statement. I'm going to be crucified. And now he talks about his burial. But now says the burial that this woman and the precious that she gave is been bestowed upon her or upon him so that the work that he's called to do can be done efficiently. And now that he said, talked about his burial, the Bible says Judas moves. And he goes and he talks to the chief priest. And he says, what will you give to me? I can hand this guy over to you. What will you give to me? What will you give to me to betray him? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, after they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver, from that time he sought opportunity, looked for opportunity to betray him. Now, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is at hand. Do you see the finality to all of this? He is wrapping it up. And he says, tell the man, the Master says, my time is at hand. My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it in your house. The Lord chooses where he's going to have his last supper, chooses who's going to be there with him. He chooses every detail and puts everything in proper order. Sends his disciples to go. and of course they go. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." He's putting things in motion again. He's moving the ball. They are eating, and he says, "One of you shall betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Now that is of utmost importance. He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. What do we have here? We have Judas sitting next to Jesus. Jesus is sitting here, and Judas is sitting next to him. John is sitting next to the Lord. So we have the one who loves the Lord completely sitting next to him, and the one who hates the Lord completely sitting next to him. And they are both dipping. They have a bowl in front of them where they're going to be dipping their bread. So the Lord says, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me." Notice the statement, "He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish." The idea is this. If you have honor for the Lord, when the Lord is dipping his hand in the dish, you wait. And he says, "The one that dips his hand with me." In other words, while I'm dipping my hand, he has the audacity to dip his hand. In other words, he's making me and him equal. Are you with me? Disrespect. When you see disrespect coming through, you know you've got a traitor. Dishonor, disrespect. You never wave disrespect out. You mark where disrespect is coming. Disrespect because of an attitude, because of what they do, or what they should do, but they are not doing. When I see disrespect, I take note of it. And if it continues, I know I have a situation here. That's it. They think they are equal to you. I'm just as anointed as you are. I'm just as capable as you are. I'm just as smart as you are. Maybe I'm even smarter. In fact, I'm so smart, I'm going to get paid for betraying you. And you don't know it. I'm ahead of the game. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" Is that a genuine question? "Master, is it I?" When he's already gone and made a deal. This is, are you really a prophet? Are you really anointed? Are you really, you know, and why does he come to that conclusion? Because the woman poured oil. And he now thinks that Jesus is vain. He now thinks If you really knew who that woman was, how will you allow that woman to do anything around you? Maybe we've been moving around with some guy who's just naturally smart, and anything that's happening here is just happening by chance. Reducing the spiritual awareness of the Lord to natural living. I'm just like you, you're just like me. No. When you start thinking in those terms, you're in trouble. In fact, David is in pursuit by Saul. David is the anointed one. And one day they were just in close proximity, and David's man went and cut a piece of Saul's garment and brought it to him. And David let Saul know, listen, I don't want to hurt you. If I was going to hurt you, I would have done that. Look, there's a piece of your garment in my hand. And it struck David. Oh my, I messed up. I went and I did something to one that is anointed. I laid my hands on the anointed of God. Was Saul operating by the Spirit of God at this time? No, he was demon-possessed. But if God's hand was ever on him, at any point, David recognized, I should not be messing with this man. This is an anointed man of God, and I have the audacity to act like a fool around him? How dare I? Too many times, people with a lack of understanding of spiritual principles act unruly around men and women of God. And here he's asking our question, Master, is it I? The very fact that he even mentions, use the word Master, is it I? He said unto him, the Lord says, thou hast said, you said it. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament or New Covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins, the removal of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, Matthew does not give us a particular detail. When they were having this discourse, and the Lord, in another context, says, the one who's dipping the bread in the ditch with me, he's the one that's going to do this. The Bible tells us that Judas gets up and he leaves. When the Lord makes this statement to him, he leaves. And the rest of the disciples think he's going out. Jesus must have spoken to him to go give out some gifts to people. But he leaves to go betray the Lord. He wasn't going to take care of the poor. He was going to make certain that Jesus did not leave another day. But what he did not know was all that he was doing were part of God's plan for my salvation. The Lord wanted you and I healed, delivered, and set free. Now let's make a comment about this verse, verse 30. And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Crushing. He went after he had sung, after singing, he stepped into the beginnings of his final days, final hours, the trial of all triers. Key thing to me and should be for you is this. He was entering that new stage, not just by what he said, but entering it through the song coming out of his lips. Our worship sees us through our crisis moments. Your words will help change your season. Your worship will help see you through your new seasons. Let me say that again. Your words will help change your seasons, but your worship will help you through your new seasons. Jesus is stepping into a new season, but in his worship, he was going to go through it. And there are seasons in your life, in my life, that nobody else can go through for you. You got to go through it by yourself. But you must fortify yourself in true worship before you get there. Amen? Praise the Lord. We'll stop there tonight, and we'll take it up from there next week. But I pray that we are learning certain things from our studies together, and that the grace of God sufficient is establishing us in all of our dealings. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the new seasons that you have bestowed and established for us. We declare that there are seasons of fruitfulness, season of supernatural increase, season, O God, of growing and increase in wisdom, in knowledge, in understanding, in stature, and in favor with God and man. We declare, O God, that in this new season, a Lord, O God, that your grace sufficient is establishing us in our going out and our coming in. And in that doing, we, O God, do rest because you have made us to rest, to lie down in green pastures. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, O God, that your grace sufficient is causing us, O God, to be at these still waters, unafraid, totally surrendered to your lordship and care. Lord, O God, that you're seeing us through every setting that we experience. For Lord, O God, every day you bring us into a day, a moment, a season, an experience that we've not experienced before. But Lord, O God, we are convinced that with every new experience that you will be there with us. Father, we thank you for the sufficiency of your grace. We pray, O God, for loved ones, O God, that may be going through different situations today, that you will be healer and deliverer, the source of strength. Pray, O God, for the Hammonds, that you will be peace to them at this time, and that you, Lord, O God, that you will sustain them and keep them in your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Let the answers that they need be made manifest to them. And we pray the same, O God, for everyone who's in this household of faith, for all those, O God, that partner with us in the callings, O God, of faith, that your kingdom may come even now and your will be done here in the earth even now as it is in heaven. Let heaven and earth come into agreement and let your will be done. This is our declaration of faith in the eternally wonderful name of our sovereign Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who died on the cross of Calvary and was raised again from the dead on the third day, the one who ascended into the heavens and released unto us on the day of Pentecost the Holy Spirit. To him be glory, and to you, our Father, be all glory, praise, worship, and adoration forever. We are blessed and highly favored of you. Blessed to be a blessing. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, bless you. Thank God for every one of you. We look forward to being with you on Friday for the prayer service. And that will be at 7 o'clock as normal. And then, of course, on Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we'll be together again, once again, worshiping the only true God in spirit and in truth. At this time, we're going to honor God with our